Distance learning has started for the elementary schools at USD 49. Roosevelt Principal Paula Rice talks about that and more on this episode of The Post Podcast. I imagine your world is just kind of crazy right now, isn't it?
It is a little bit topsy-turvy, but I think we're finally starting to settle into a little bit of the new norm, whatever that looks like quite yet.
Excellent news. Well, and we've got a lot to cover, so I want to get right into it. The first thing you want to hit on, the continuous learning plan, the resources, and how that's all on the webpage. You want to just tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. First of all, I want to thank, on behalf of the administration and all of the principals of all of the buildings, we want to thank our families just so much, because we understand how crazy this is for them, and we're asking them to do things they've never had to do before. They are overwhelmed and inundated with resources, and it can be kind of chaotic. And on top of all of that, all of us at the last minute said, hey guys, come and get all of your supplies, all of your technology, all on the same day. And the families really stepped up and did it. Pickup and delivery was really smooth yesterday, and we are so grateful for the family support as we go down this new path of continuous learning, which is going to look a little bit different. And with there being so much out there and so many questions ongoing and constantly changing, the district has really wanted to make it as easy as possible for the families. So on every website, both the USD 489 website and each of the websites for the schools, at the very top of the webpage is a black banner that says Continuous Learning Plan Resources. Families can click on that banner and it pulls up a ton of everything they need to know. Once they enter that site, there is a blue check mark that says for parents and families, and there are frequently asked questions. There are lunch and breakfast information, community resources, the directions for everybody's new favorite platform, which is Zoom. And we're going to try to get that updated as often as possible, because we know that things change hour by hour, day by day.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Zoom. And we talked just a little bit ago, as a matter of fact, with Fort Hays State. And they're kind of using that too a little bit. Not as much as you guys. But yeah, that's a crazy awesome tool. And I love it because it's free. Well, maybe not free for you guys, but free for the users on our end.
Zoom has absolutely supported education nationwide throughout this. They have been very gracious to realize that it's a good thing for them. Obviously, their platform is going to get a lot more attention and a lot more use, and it will never be the same again. But we didn't even realize the educational implications of such a tool until we had to. You know, invention is the mother of all, necessity is the invention of all. Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you need it is when you learn how to use it. And Zoom has been one of those things. For example, the second grade teachers at Roosevelt this morning had Zoom meetings with each of their classes. And it was pretty fun to be able to get on and see all of the kids interacting with their teachers, talking about the books that they're reading at home. And it's a great way for the kids to still be able to connect to each other, for us as staff to be able to connect to each other, and to have as much of a sense of normalcy as possible.
Yeah, and that's something we spoke to your counterpart, Carrie Lacey, over at Lincoln Elementary last week. She told us a lot of the parents and the students are using this for, you know, basically play dates or even just to kind of do homework together, just to help that social aspect, because everybody kind of got thrown apart so quickly. And that's got to be hard on, you know, especially the younger kids, because they really don't understand what's going on.
It is. And I'm glad to hear that. Carrie is absolutely right. This has been one of the best things. Kids can't go even just across the street to play with their friends, and they don't necessarily understand why. It doesn't make a lot of sense to them, even the teenagers, that this is for their protection and for their safety and not a punishment. So anytime that families can use a platform like Zoom or Google Hangout or any of the other ones that are out there to allow the kids to still hang out in a sense, that's going to help tremendously. I even saw on Facebook last week where there was a family having a slumber party for a girl's birthday party via Zoom. And I thought that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, absolutely. But as cool as Zoom is, it's not by any means the only technological resource. You want to talk a little bit about some of the other things that you've incorporated or shifted? Because I know you guys already use some technology in the classroom, like, for example, a seesaw. I know my elementary school teacher uses that pretty heavily. But there's a lot of those that you guys are implementing or, again, kind of just ramping up, right?
Right. And that's been a nice thing. Since USD 489 is a one-to-one district and all of our students from kindergarten through 12th grade have that technology in their hands every day, this shift is a little bit easier for us than in districts that don't have that advantage. A lot of the platforms that we use in the classroom on a regular basis, Seesaw, you mentioned, Lexia, which is for reading, Reflex Math, Blooms, Canvas, things like that are all platforms that our kids are being able to use at home. So they don't have to learn new technology to be able to continue their learning process.
Yeah, I love that. And again, I think that probably helps kind of keep that sense of normalcy, because they're like, oh yeah, I know this. As a matter of fact, when I came down to the studio to this morning to chat with you, my kid was playing with, I don't know, something on her tablet. I don't know what she was doing. She's like, oh, I'm making a cupcake guy. And I'm like, okay, cool. Is that educational? And she's like, yeah, it's, you know, and I think it was part of Lexia. And I'm like, okay, that sounds educational-ish. I don't know what it was.
Well, and at the elementary level, especially programs like Lexia are ones that we use on a regular basis, because they tailor, Lexia specifically will take a child and assess where their reading level is and where they need the most help. Now, that's not to say that Lexia is only to be used by the kids who need some additional help. Lexia is the coolest tool because it takes every child, no matter their reading ability, and it helps fill in the blanks, fill in the gaps, and really push their learning at an individualized level. At the elementary level, it looks like a big old video game, so they're playing and having fun while they're learning.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not, you know, the technology isn't going to be driven here. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the outside resources that are available as well. But generally, you know, this is all, and because you guys started up Wednesday, but the educational piece, it is being driven by the individual instructor. So I don't want anybody to get the impression that we're talking here that you guys just passed it all off to a bunch of computers and everybody's hands off now, because they're not, right?
Right. Teachers are still available to parents the same length of time as they would be if it was during the school day. Now, those hours might vary from building to building and even from teacher to teacher, because we're trying really hard to be available for our families. And we know that there are still many families who have two parents that are essential personnel and are working all day. And so coming home, maybe kids aren't doing schoolwork at the same time. They need to do it when parents are home in the evening, or they tried to do it during the day and have questions, and so they need to reach out to their teachers. And our staff district-wide is doing a really good job of trying to make their readily available times as much as possible, where parents can expect an answer pretty quickly during the normal school hours. And then anything after that, we're trying to get back to them within 24 hours.
Yeah. And I imagine, too, for a lot of the teachers in the district, it's probably they're in the same boats. You know, all of a sudden now they're teaching from home and their kids are with them as well. So they've probably got those same struggles going on in their own lives.
Absolutely. I've got several staff members over at Roosevelt that have their own children, both at Roosevelt and the middle school and the high school. And they're having to juggle now spending the time helping their own kids through lessons, as well as being available to help their students and doing their online teaching and doing everything we can to take care of both at the same time.
Yeah. Well, so I want to go back to kind of the outside, the technological stuff, because that's one of the messages I think we heard from the school board when they met on Monday. As well as from some just teachers that have been doing, you know, constant updates either through social media or through, you know, traditional media like the Hayes Post. They're saying don't get overwhelmed and don't feel like you need to even be clicking on or engaging with all of the resources that are coming at you, because people are just, all of these companies are sending out like, hey, use this tool, but they don't need to do that, right?
Absolutely. This is not, it's obviously not going to look like traditional school. Kids are not going to get 6.5-7 hours of instruction every day. And that's perfectly fine. The goal is to help them stay connected to the school and to each other. The goal is to help them to continue to learn and grow and practice skills. But we also don't want families worried that their kids are not going to make proper growth and proper gain. And we don't want families to worry about that. School will resume and we will meet the kids where they are. In terms of everything that's available, we have such a blessing to be in a time where everything is always available. You can find anything you want simply by typing it into a search bar and hitting enter. That's great. Patrick Stewart, one of my favorite actors, is reading Shakespearean poetry. Dolly Parton is reading bedtime stories. These are all wonderful things. And if families want to take advantage of that, or they want to go on a staycation from their living room to Washington, D.C. and go tour the Smithsonian Museums, that's fantastic. By all means, do it. But don't feel like you have to. Don't feel like, as families, they have to supplement what they feel like might be missing just because the kids aren't in a physical brick and mortar building all day long. It's okay. And when school resumes, we'll meet the kids where they are, we will pick up, and everything will be fine. Plus, there are a ton of learning opportunities in just normal everyday life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think one of the things I thought was kind of cool about this that I've seen in my own household is, you know, the engagement with our children, you know, as we're going about our day-to-day lives, because we're, you know, my wife and I both are at home now for the most part. And, yeah, I'm kind of like, I'm engaging her, you know, like it's weird, but I'm like, I'm going to edit this audio piece right now. Come learn how to do that. And, you know, my daughter is really cool with it. She's like, yeah, that's neat. And she loves seeing that opportunity that she normally wouldn't have got.
Excellent. That's perfect. We as adults, busy adults that work all the time, don't realize how much the littles are watching us and learning from us. And if we can stop and be intentional about that for just a second, we will realize that everything we do is a learning opportunity. For example, just simply cooking dinner together as a family or baking cookies, that right there is a lesson in science and health and nutrition and even social studies, reading, math. You could even take it one step further, have them create a recipe of their own, and now they're doing some writing as well. Learning opportunities are all around us. Even things like going outside and playing a game of basketball. I had a family tell me yesterday at pickup, they were going to go home and play a game of horse. And then she was going to change it up to use some of the other spelling words.
Nice.
So you can take and customize anything and turn it into a learning experience by just going, oh, hey, I never thought about that. One of the best questions the kid asks, best question any child has ever asked, is why. Take a second and answer the question. And if you don't know, then find the answer together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned outside, because that's something else that I think maybe, and the weather's changing. You know, we have nice weather today, but by the end of the day, I think it's going to be snowing. But getting outside, yeah, getting outside and having those opportunities for your children to be outside is important, because at school, especially again for the younger students, they're outside, what, like 3 times a day for half an hour periods. So they shouldn't be locked in trying to do educational all day, you know, every day. You got to provide them those opportunities as well, right?
the positive side of this horrible situation is that the opportunities for our kids to get outside now are much better because of what we have to teach within a normal school day. And because of the timeline that we're on, our students at the elementary level are only able to have 2 15-minute recesses a day. Mm. If it's a really nice day and, you know, coming into spring, PE teachers try to get them out as much as possible, but at the most, the kids are looking at maybe an outside time of an hour a day. And that's really hard on them. They need the vitamin D. They need the sunshine. They need the wind blowing in their face. They need to be able to run around and be kids. And I really encourage families to allow that to happen as much as possible right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I've even found as I'm stuck at home working, that, you know, I'm going outside more. I'm taking a laptop and I'm sitting on the back porch and I'm writing from the backyard. Just because that's something I don't typically get to do. And it helps break up that stress of, you know, missing my coworkers, missing, you know, the regular activities, kind of the routine that everybody's in. And I think that, go out with your kids, maybe it'll help you as well, right?
That's a really, really good point. We worry a lot about the social emotional welfare of our kids, but we also worry about the social emotional welfare of each other as adults and of our families. And this could be one of those opportunities that, as crazy as it is, and as much as we worry, and as hectic and as crisis as the situation is, it's forcing us to kind of change it how we do things. And if we can do, like you said, maybe go sit outside and sit on the patio and work and just take a moment to breathe and talk and relax, then it might help us go back to a society that isn't hustle and bustle all of the time. It might help us go back to a time where we were able to relax and be neighbors and not feel rushed all of the time, which is good for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was talking to, this is kind of completely unrelated to education, but talking to a friend, as a matter of fact, we were Zooming last night, and he was saying that he felt like in his business that the productivity was actually going up.
I believe it. I believe it completely. We have time to think about things. We have time to truly put some quality thought and effort into our product rather than having to turn around and spit it out. And again, that's not just education, that's everything. And that's because as a society, we're now having to rethink everything we do.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one other thing we wanted to hit on. We're quickly running out of time here. The lunches, and we did speak to, again, Carrie Lacey last week, kind of give us the skinny on that, but that's provided now at more locations, because initially it was just at Lincoln Elementary. You want to kind of just give us a recap of how that's going and who's available or who's eligible to pick up those lunches for the kiddos now?
Yes, and that's so incredibly important. Lunches are available to any child age 1 through 18, and that's every day that school is in session between now and May 15th. I think we only have two more days, and that's for spring recess that those lunches won't be served. But every other day between now and May 15th, those lunches are available. It is a curbside thing. You just drive through. You do have to have the kids in the car with you. That's a federal mandate. We have to be able to verify that the meals are for the children that you're telling us for, but we will hand you a hot lunch right then and breakfast for the next morning. And that is, again, to any child age 1 through 18 at Lincoln, at Hayes Middle School, and at Hayes High School every day.
Excellent. So you guys lucked out over there at Roosevelt. You don't have to mess with that.
It was close, but, you know, we're glad our friends at Lincoln are doing an amazing job. And even though Lincoln is the elementary school, it's the more centrally located elementary school, and there are staff from all of the buildings going to all three buildings to help serve with lunches. So we're still getting a little bit of a workout helping too.
Okay. Well, and I know she was giving us some of the numbers, and I don't remember off the top of my head, but it just blew me away how many meals were going out of that building. It was incredible. And to do it in such an efficient and, you know, really quick manner. 'Cause it's just like for an hour, I think an hour, right?
It is. Yeah, it's just for an hour, 11:30 to 12:30 every day. And if you've ever seen the episode of I Love Lucy, where Lucy and Effo are in the chocolate factory and they're having a great time, and then all of a sudden the chocolates start coming down the conveyor belt so fast that she can't keep up. So she starts eating them and she starts stuffing them in her shirt and putting them under her hat. That's a lot of what it looks like.
Nice. The other piece on that, I'm glad you said, having the students in the car, that's a federal mandate. That's not, because I've heard some people kind of question that. That wasn't a decision by the district then. That was something you are required to do.
That's correct. And it the same actually applies during the school year. When the kids are at school, we don't charge them for lunches until we see that they are there and that they are physically receiving the lunch. And that is, again, nutrition guidelines, nutrition requirements.
Okay. So if you have a complaint with that program, take it up with somebody in the government, not your local teachers.
Right.
Okay. So the last thing I think we want to hit on, you know, outside of the lunch, there are still resources that you guys are providing, you know, for example, like counselors at your schools, right?
Absolutely. And we're trying to take care of our staff too. So they may not be on site and we can't have families and kids in the buildings, but that doesn't mean that the resources aren't still available. If families need us, whether the kids need us, the families themselves need us, if they need resources beyond what they can find, whether it's food or help with utilities or things like that, the school has always been a great place for those. Please, families, just give us a call. Our counselors are there to help support you. Our staff is there to help support you. And if we don't have the resources readily available, we can usually find someone who knows someone who can help you.
Excellent. Well, we are, matter of fact, over time. But anything else you want to try to squeak in real quick before we go?
No, we just want to say again to families, thank you. Relax. Do the best you can. We've got your back, and we're going to get through this together.